evening. Merry Christmas. Won't you stand with us and worship? Let's sing. Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain.
Bye. Good evening. Merry Christmas. We want to just welcome you all here. We're just glad that you're here tonight. And we, like always, we just hope more than anything that you can really find Christ here tonight, that you can worship him and praise him and just feel like you're part of a family of God. And that's our hope for all of you this evening. But we want to just say welcome. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for living in our lives, and we thank you, though, Lord, for everyone that's here tonight. And Lord, we pray that if there's people here tonight that don't know you, I pray that your messages that they hear, the songs we sing, something will just trigger them in their heart to come to know you as their personal Savior. We just ask that this evening. We thank you for this time. We thank you that we can celebrate your peace, your hope, your joy, and your love. And we just thank you for the fact that you came to earth as a baby, that you lived and that you died and rose again, that we may have life everlasting. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You heard that before? We talk a lot about peace at this time of year, this peace of the world, but yet, as we look around us, the world is struggling with that statement because it appears, anyway, that this world we live in is at odds with this term peace. We look around us, we listen to the news, we watch, we read the papers, we look online, and the things we see every day do not look very peaceful, do they? We either have ISIS attacking someone new on almost a daily basis, the attacks in Paris as well as San Bernardino, mass shootings throughout the year, like the church in Charleston, or malls, or theaters, or military bases, you name it. There's racial divide throughout America. There's protests going on in Baltimore as well as in Chicago. There's worries of terrorism, and we're faced with that all the time. People fleeing from Syria and some of them dying in the process. There's wars throughout the Middle East, and it goes on and on. That's just to name a few. Well, it's not only in the world that we find this chaos, it's also sometimes in our own lives. You know, a lot of times our own lives are not very good examples of peace. There's divorce and issues with relationships. There's disease like cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's. There's money issues, and there are people who are battling addictions with drugs and alcohol. There's chaos in the lives of God's people even. Even amongst us here in this family, we have people who are struggling with some of these items, some of these issues that they come and they talk to us about, and they're struggling with that. We are not exempt from the troubles of the world. So when we look around us in the world and inside of our own lives, sometimes it's hard to see peace. So is it even possible for us to really, truly experience peace? Well, you might think, well, with all that bad news, it's probably not. But you know what? It is possible. But it is possible through and because of Jesus. And that's the only thing that can give us true peace. The world is always going to have trouble. We are always going to have troubles. But the one constant is Christ, and that's where we find peace. There's only one way that we can find that. You see, Jesus came on that very first Christmas to bring peace to those who were at war with God. You see, sometimes when we fight God, we are at war with God, and even some of us here tonight might be at war with God. We're at war with maybe what he has in mind for us to do, or maybe it's his teaching and the things that he wants us to know, or the life that we live, and the fact that we're fighting against things that he would like to see us become. So there's that to deal with. But you know what, folks? We can truly find peace by finding him. You know, we may think that we can find peace by things that really do not bring peace. Maybe we say if we can find someone that will love us and that we can love, everything will be great and we will have peace finally. Or maybe it's money if we just had more, right? Very few times do we ask for less. But if we only had more money or maybe more material things, homes and cars, you know, a lot of things out there that we might want, but none of them are going to bring peace. For some, it might be an addiction that they're struggling with, and they want more of that. And if they can just solve that problem, they'll have peace. Well, again, just solving those problems are good, but they do not bring us peace. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:14, this is what he says, "For he himself," which he's talking about Christ, "is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and all of its regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and in that one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father and the Holy Spirit." So here we are this evening with all of our struggles personally, with the struggles that are going on in the world around us, like wars and killings and greed and everything else that God that goes along with the world, which is not very peaceful. But we say we still want peace. I think that's something inside us all. We want peace, but we just don't know where to find it. And so I want to encourage you this evening to look for peace in baby Jesus. The birth of Christ brings us an opportunity to have peace. You see, Christ did come to bring peace on earth, and he did come to bring goodwill toward man. And then he secured that peace when he died on the cross and rose again. We are blessed to celebrate the birth of Christ because that symbolizes peace, because that's what he came to do. So tonight, if you're looking and seeking peace, then my only suggestion is seek Jesus, because that's where you will find peace. He has brought peace to all of his children, but the question is for all of us to ask is, will we accept his peace, or will we continue to fight against God's will? John 14:27 says, Jesus tells us this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." We as believers in Christ have no reason to be fearful. We as believers in Christ will find peace if we look to Christ. And so tonight we celebrate the birth of Christ, the birth of the opportunity for true peace, because that's where peace is at. No place else, but right in Jesus Christ. Shalom.
Holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoiced. Oh,
movie It's a Wonderful Life had George Bailey committing suicide, and it was retitled It's a Terrible Life. What if A Christmas Story was retitled A Christmas Dirge and Ralphie really did shoot his eye out with a Red Ryder BB gun? What if Kris Kringle was committed to the asylum and the story became known as a tragedy on 34th Street? Christmas bummers. We like our happy endings, don't we? What steps have you taken or are you taking to make sure that your story has a good ending? How will you finish Christmas well? What can we do when we learn that we're not measuring up? And we don't. Is there hope for another opportunity? Is there really such a thing as a second chance, or even a third, fourth, or fifth chance? Or are we doomed by our failures? This is the major question addressed by Charles Dickens in his famous holiday story, which is a personal favorite of mine. Many of you know that. Toward the end of the narrative of A Christmas Carol, Scrooge is faced with the ultimate consequences of his humbug life. The ghost of Christmas future arrives and shows him his destiny. And I think these could be the most frightening scenes in the story. There's valid reason for their potency. As Dickens forcefully describes an encounter that brings us face to face with the reality of life and death. As Scrooge witnesses a series of vignettes that portray the future, it becomes clear that they are different responses of people that they have toward his own death. And that climax brings Scrooge to that final scene in a church graveyard. In that scene, in effect, Scrooge is asking if he can write a different ending to his story. He begs for a chance to change his life and so alter the outcome of his life. Remember, as he says to the Spirit, "These things that you have shown me, Spirit, are these things that will be or things that may be?" Will he be able to transition in Romans 6:23 from the wages of sin is death to the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? It's a provocative request. It's one that challenges us all and makes me ask, would you also like to write a good ending to your own Christmas carol? Been celebrating Advent all month, been lighting Advent candles every Sunday since the Sunday after Thanksgiving, the candles of love and peace and hope and joy, and tonight I've been asked to share a few minutes concerning the power of the presence of hope. How does one find hope? Is it something you can create through optimism or some kind of mental gymnastics? Is there hope? How do we make sure that we're writing a good ending to our story? I want to read briefly from the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 18 and following, which simply starts out by saying this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged, literally betrothed, to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua," which means Savior. "He will be given the name Yeshua because he will save his people from their sins." How is Jesus going to do that? How's he going to pull that off? The cross, of course. By taking my place, by paying the price of my sin for me, by offering the perfect sacrifice of his perfect life as an atonement for my sin. Someone says, where was God when I needed him? He was on the cross when I needed him. The Matthew 1 gospel account continues. It says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We sang about that just a little while ago. And you know, we blow that off so easily, don't we? We look at the little baby in the manger, and either we're apathetic because we've heard it again and again and again, or our perspective will say, oh, how sweet, sweet, sweet little baby, forgetting that in that cattle's feeding trough that night was the sovereign God of the universe, the creator of every baby that has ever been born. God came down to us. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and lived among us, literally moved right in next door, pitched his tent right next to us. You know what the best Christmas verse in the Bible is? It's not Isaiah 7:14, not Matthew 1:23, not even Luke chapter 2, which is another one of my personal favorites. But the best Christmas verse in the Bible is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So wait a minute. You know, we run around a lot saying, you know, it's not about you, not about me, about him. Yeah, but you know what? It is about you. It is about me. You've heard that cliche saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. From Christmas cards to t-shirts, we see it, we hear it, and it's true. There's an element of truth to that. We do have to cut through all of the hype so that we don't lose sight of the Christ during this season of the year. But Jesus is not the reason for the season. You are the reason for the season. And I am the reason for the season. Christ came to give us life and hope. There it is. Hope. So you want to write a good ending to your story? A happy ending to your story? Only one way that's going to happen. Roger proclaimed it loud and clear. It's only going to happen when you're in Jesus Christ. We live in a fallen world. Do not trust what the world is telling you that you need to do. They don't get it. They don't have it right. Almost everywhere you turn, you can see tragedy and heartache, and only a fool misses the point from the morning headlines that we sit on the edge of disaster. Loneliness, guilt, hurt, fear become our constant companions. One wonders if any of life makes any difference, if any of life makes any sense at all. Where's the hope? Where's God in all of this? Where was God when I needed him? Romans 5:8 says, God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Long time ago, in a manger, a baby was born. Bible says it was a sign for us. God coming down. God with us. Listen to that scripture one more time. She will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So what do you call that? I call it hope.
The shepherds all bear witness to the miracle at hand. I look down upon her, she just smiles. The wise men ride forth from a distant foreign land. For tonight she'll be bringing forth a child. Tonight I pray for courage and the strength to carry on. I pray like I never had before. You blessed her with the Savior, but still she's just a girl. I love her, Lord. It's her I'm praying for. So tonight I pray for Mary.
Well, good evening, everyone. How are we doing tonight? Good. What brings you joy? What makes you happy? What's that thing that you love more than anything else? Go ahead and turn to the person next to you and answer that question. What do you love? What brings you joy? Go. Jeff will be wearing shoes. And you think that's shoes. All right, so for some of you, it's probably this. It's that family gathered around the table tonight or tomorrow, all centered around a nice big turkey. You know, everybody's there. The whole family's there. That's your thing. For others of you, it's probably that, could be that newborn baby. You know, you just Love that baby. Just that picture brings you joy. Maybe for others of you, you like puppies. And so that's what, not kittens, because they're not in the Bible. So those are from Satan. So we know that can't be kitten. But if we're honest, if we're really, really honest tonight, we should be because we're in church. What brings most of us joy is when your team wins the Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's what really brings you joy. What joy is not? Joy is not that feeling you get when you finally get that present that you hope is under the tree this year. Or it's not the smell of that new car or that new house or that new baby. Or it's not that material possession. What joy is, joy was delivered. In Luke chapter 2, it says it this way. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around him, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, the word joy in the New Testament is this word, hara. Okay, that's the Greek for joy. So turn to your neighbor and just say that word, hara. Go ahead. Don't spit on them, all right? We're church. We're all friendly. You learn something new, right? Hara is the word for joy. Now, what joy means, it means to extend favor to, or to lean towards, or to be favorably disposed of, or to be aware of the grace of God. So what joy is, by definition, joy is grace recognized. That's what joy is. It's grace recognized. Around the table, you experience joy because you have been given grace by your family, right? And you have had to extend some of your family members grace, have you not? It's like Judge Judy always says, fish and family start to smell after 3 days, right? A baby is a reflection of the grace of God, and that brings us joy. All these signs at Christmas are simply reminders that joy, grace recognized, has come, meaning the grace of God has come through this Jesus, this baby, as he brings us all back to the table of God. In the Old Testament, the word was associated with the true worship of God. Wherever people know love and worship God, he instills a joy in his heart, in their hearts, that only he can give. Because of this, circumstances cannot take away your joy. Circumstances can take away your happiness. They can mess with your emotions. But if joy is grace recognized, circumstances, those things of the world that Rick and Roger talked about that we go through, cannot rob us of our joy. The very core of our being can still rejoice in the fact that we are forgiven children of God who enjoyed an intimate relationship with us. And we have that relationship with the Creator of the universe. So this Christmas, no one or no thing can rob you of your joy, because joy is not found in anything, and joy is only found in one, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Joy is found in Jesus alone. So this Christmas, find your joy where joy comes from, in the manger, for a baby, born full of grace, to bring you and I back to the table, where we can rejoice that God is preparing a banquet, a meal for you, better than grandma. Sorry, grandma, if you're in the room. For all of us who find joy in the birth and the life and the death of this Savior, our Jesus, our baby, our source of joy. He came to bring us joy, to restore grace, to be grace recognized. So what joy, what a gift, what joy to the world. So I just have this to say, there is joy for the world. There is joy in the world. So stand with me as we sing Joy to the World. Amen.
Christmas. He needs medication. All right, hope, peace, joy. I want to share with you out of God's word, love. There's a beautiful passage of scripture, so just listen with me from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, starting there. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love for among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. We love because he first loved us. Love has its foundation, it has its roots, it has its beginning in God. Hope, peace, and joy have their beginning, they have their foundation, they have their roots in God and nowhere else. And I hope that you have heard that over and over again, that message tonight. As I was looking at our Christmas tree at home, we got a cut tree, so it's a live tree, it's a real tree. I don't know what you do. We do the fake tree sometimes, the real tree sometimes. But we have a real tree, but it's cut off. It's not one of that. Sometimes we get them in the bin where we can plant them in the backyard and keep them alive. But anyway, the kids chose out the tree. They went out and they did their thing. They brought it back. They did all the decorating of the tree. They hung the lights, they hung the ornaments. They did all their stuff. It looks amazing. Everything's in place. Everything looks wonderful. I was looking at it even today before I came. And I was thinking, man, everything is in place. You know, the gifts around it are all neatly wrapped. You know, it all looks wonderful. You'd think that everything was perfect just looking at it. And then I moved closer to the tree and I checked it out a little bit more intently. And, you know, a lot of pine needles are falling down on the ground and the tree is dying. And perhaps you have that experience too with your tree. And I got to thinking, what is wrong with this beautiful tree? Everything looks so good and yet it's falling apart and it's dying. And then you realize that the tree is not where it belongs. The tree is not made to be in a hard plastic or metal bowl with water to survive. The tree does not have its proper roots, its proper foundation to live. And I got to thinking, sometimes that's a lot like what you and I look like. You know, we can dress up, we can look good, we can put on an act, we can put on a show, we can, you know, do the things that, you know, kind of make it seem like things are all right and okay. But we're really inside, we're falling apart. Inside, we're dying. Inside, it's not okay, even though it might appear okay. And usually when that happens, we need to look no further than where our roots, where our foundation is, just like that tree. We've probably planted ourselves in this world that we don't belong in. God created us for a different place. And so we try to lay down our foundation and our roots in this world and find our hope and our joy and our peace and love in a place that's not ours. And we need to find it in Jesus Christ and his word. And so I don't know where you place your hope, your joy. I don't know if you lack that this Christmas season. I don't know if you're looking for that. I don't know if love's a foreign concept or peace is hard to find. But I know that if you're looking for it in this world, if you're looking for it even in one another, surrounded by family and friends and great gifts, you're not going to find it there. There is a word, there is a name for hope, there's a name for joy, there's a name for peace, there's a name for love, and that name is Jesus. Christmas begins with Christ, and it ends with Christ, and everything in between, and all of it, that's called our life, is for Christ. And when we recognize that, and we plant our roots and our foundation in that, we find a hope and a peace and a joy and a love that can't be found anywhere else. I don't know where you find yourself tonight, but if you lack that, I hope and pray that you would place your hope and trust in Jesus Christ, perhaps for the first time. And this could be your birthday, just as it's Jesus' birthday that we celebrate today. today. As we've lit the love candle, the hope candle, the peace candle, the joy candle, soon we will light the Christ candle in the center. And from that Christ candle, we will have people come forward and light their candles, and they will come and they will light your candles. And I hope that you will take the light that they give you and that you will not just use it in here, but you will take it out there and you will be a light of the world for Jesus. So consider where your roots, where your foundation is, where you're finding your hope, where you're looking for your peace, where you're searching for your joy, how you're trying to love, because we can't do these things outside of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord God, to pause in this moment and to not let it slip away, to recognize, God, your grace and your mercy, to recognize what this day means for believers. Father, you sent your son even though we didn't deserve it. He lived a perfect life and died an undeserved death and rose again for each one of us. Father, don't let us miss that. In the hustle and bustle of Christmas, in the busyness of family and friends and food. Father, this is about your son, Jesus Christ. Help us to give thanks to him and to remember him and to celebrate him. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you all so very much for being here and spending part of your Christmas Eve with us. We love you, and we truly wish you all a very Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.